CGLO 1690 AM. 25 years and we're still getting louder.
For CJLO News, I'm Donald Roberge. Quebec public sector workers began the first of a three-day strike on Tuesday. Known as Le Front commun, or Common Front, over 400,000 employees from four different unions could be seen waving flags and picketing outside of educational, healthcare, and social service facilities. While schools and CJEPs are closed to allow teachers and educational support staff to protest, essential services and healthcare will still be provided. Though the unions have individual demands, they are collaborating to put pressure on the Legault government for better working conditions and salaries. At the request of the union leaders, a conciliator has been appointed by the government in order to help reach a collective agreement. Turbo House, a bar that plays live music on St. Denis Street, has received a warning from the City of Montreal to make less noise or else face a fine up to $12,000. Located in the Latin Quarter between Sherbrooke and Ontario Street, Turbo House moved to its current address from a previous venue in St. Henry to be in a location that was specifically non-residential. This is the first noise complaint Turbo House has received since it relocated in 2018. Within the last 5 years, music halls such as Le Divan Orange, La Tulipe, and the Diving Bell Social Club have had to either cease their operations or else comply to the city's rules when it comes to volume, an issue that's increased with the construction of residential buildings in traditionally commercial areas. Montreal Alouettes fans will be gathering on de Maisonneuve Boulevard today for the Grey Cup Parade. The parade is set to begin at 11:30 near the corner of Crescent and de Maisonneuve and is set to end at the Quartier des Spectacles at the corner of Clark Street. The CFL underdogs won the championship Sunday night, beating the Winnipeg Blue Bombers with a score of 28-24. Participating in the parade will be Montreal Alouettes players, staff, and new owner Pierre-Carl Péladeau. This is the first Grey Cup win for the Alouettes since 2010.
Welcome to Cadenza Montreal on CGLO 1690. I'm Stephanie Manning, and welcome to today's episode. We've got a great episode for you today, a mix of interview and music. And so we're going to start with a little music before we get into the first interview. I had the pleasure of talking with tenor Emiliano Gonzalez Toro, who is the director of the French Baroque Ensemble I Gemelli. He conducts and sings in the ensemble, and they are performing at Salle Bourget tonight at 7:30. So this is a selection from the album that has inspired tonight's performance. It's called A Room of Mirrors, and this is a collection of duets between Emilio Gonzalez Toro, tenor, and American tenor Zachary Wilder. All of these duets, as you'll hear, were inspired by the composer Claudio Monteverdi, but none of them were actually composed by him. Emiliano will talk about that later in the interview. So this is a selection from that album. This is Dovaten Vai, Madrigali 1, and again, this is the Ensemble I Gemelli.
Cammini, lì del mio lungo cammin si scopre il porto. Perché, perché chi parti e m'abbandoni ai lasso sul perigioso passo?
Perché, perché, perché chi parti e m'abbandoni ai lasso?
E m'abbandoni ai lasso?
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal on CGLO 1690. I'm joined by tenor Emiliano Gonzalez Toro, who is also the director of the French Baroque Ensemble I Gemelli. The group has a concert on Wednesday at 7:30 at Salle Bourgie. Emiliano, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
So the ensemble just made its debut in the U.S. right at the Boston Early Music Festival with this program. And is this year going to be your first time in Canada?
Yes, it is. We are extremely excited to sing for the first time with the Gemelli, and actually myself for the first time in Montreal, in Canada. I've already sung many times as a soloist with other ensembles in the United States, but it's going to be the first time also for me and the ensemble I Gemelli to sing this program, Room of Mirrors. So we are extremely excited.
Awesome. And so, yeah, let's talk about the program a little bit, the Room of Mirrors, made up of these Italian Baroque arias. So from what I've read, all the works really revolve around the composer Claudio Monteverdi, even though none of his works are actually included. So can you explain the connection a little bit more?
Of course. When we started I Gemelli, we started I Gemelli because I am a huge lover and fan of Monteverdi's music and Seicento music, which means 17th century Italian music. I consider myself as one of the specialists in this music vocally. And so we wanted to create an ensemble also to do this music as we like, with the people we like. And we started with Orfeo of Monteverdi. And during this recording, we worked with Zachary Wilder, who's the tenor singing with me next Wednesday. And he's probably one of the most amazing tenor I know in this Baroque world. So we decided to create sort of a collaboration between us. We wanted to do a first album together, but as you may know, probably, there is too many books of madrigals of Monteverdi, book 8, book 7, book 6, but most of the main stuff for tenors is book 7 and 8, but they are like masterpieces. And before to go and dive into book 7 and 8, we wanted to have a shot and try on beautiful duets, but not from Monteverdi. It's like preparing ourselves to do the main big stuff together. So this program is born actually of this reflection, to do as much as possible music related to Monteverdi, but without having to sing Monteverdi. Which means, for example, there is like a song called a duet, Dove ten vai, from Turini, and Dove ten vai is with exactly the same text as Orfeo in Act 3, when Orfeo goes into the hell and is driven by hope, and hope leaves him there, and he says, why do you leave me? Where are you going? Dove ten vai? But this piece is from Turini, for example. We have other several kind of ambiances and pieces like Damigella tutta bella, Quella che tanto, many other ones who always are related in a way with Monteverdi, but he's like mentor, but without being there.
Right, exactly. And so how do you think like that informs your performance of like just kind of without Monteverdi there, it's kind of still in your head as you're performing?
Yeah, but actually it is pretty clear that he was there anyway. I mean, he influenced so much all this music in this period. He's like Mozart, like Bach, like many of the main composers. They're not always people who invent things, but they inspire a new movement. And when we sing those duets, every of course is there all the time, and influencing the way we sing, influencing the way we act and propose and tell the text, for example. But also we don't have to forget that Monteverdi was a singer himself, as most of the composers at that time. So, and also most of his singers at that time were, for example, Francesco Rasi and others, main stars of this period, like Caccini, Peri, D'India, and most of those composers were first of all singers. So they all were working together. And that's what makes the link with this program, those composers, and Monteverdi.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of speaking of kind of playing a dual role, like you within this ensemble are the director, but also the singer, which is kind of a unique taking on both of those roles at once. So what is it like? What's it like taking on that kind of dual role?
Actually, it's even more a duo, because actually we created Ijemel with my wife, Mathilde Etienne, who also is a singer, but also artistic director when we do the recordings. She's in the cabin driving us to do the good work we want to do also, but also staging our concerts. Everything you're going to see, for example, the link of the program, the dramaturgy, everything you will see on Wednesday is also her work, first of all. But the second thing is, it's just going back to the roots. Actually, when this music has been created in those times in 17th century in Italy, the concept of somebody conducting with hands or from a harpsichord or from any other kind of instrument were not really accurate. It was not really true. It didn't really exist. So we just went back, as I said before, most of those composers, instrumentists, musicians were first of all singers. So it just going back to the roots, that a singer is leading a band with his voice, not with his arms. And that just makes it much more logical. And what people will see on stage is pretty much very close to what it could have been at that time.
Right. And so, yeah, you kind of have this dedication towards like historical accuracy in that way, right?
That gives something totally different because, for example, now we will do a concert for about an hour and a half, which is pretty short. It's fine. But sometimes we do big operas. For example, we are in the middle of Il Ritorno di Lucia tour in Europe, just between we are just in between the two tours in Europe, coming back to the United States and Canada. And also when we do an opera for 3 hours, nobody's conducting anyway. So we're like 30 people on stage, but it works because everything is related. When the singer is leading, then all the orchestra can just follow him like it was just an instrument. And then it creates an ambiance that the public can see. And it creates also a connection in between the musicians and the singers that do not exist if somebody, there is only one person everybody has to follow.
Right. Yeah. I've seen like some videos of performances of the group and it's like, you know, people are looking at each other. Like you feel like the connection is like really deep in that way when everyone's sort of not just looking at one person.
It's not like what we would say a traditional kind of immobile concert. No, there is a lot of movement. There is a lot of energy going on stage. A connection to the public, we talk to them, we sing, we act to them. There is plenty of energy during these concerts.
Absolutely. And so you talked a bit earlier about your wife, Mathilde, like how she kind of has helped with the staging of the performance. So in what way, like, kind of visually will we see that? Like, how does her influence come through when you're sitting in the audience?
You will see that we are extremely free. And as we say, this freedom is like when you see an athlete or a jazz man, for example. If you see freedom, it means it looks easy. But if it looks easy, it never looks easy when there is no work. If you see, for example, a Super Bowl show, it's only for like 10 to 15 to 20 minutes music and dance. And everything is extremely, looks fluent, easy and fun and full of energy, full of diversity of many kind of art performing together. But to give this impression of easiness and facility, what we call in Italy la sprezzatura, it means it requires a lot of work before. And she is there for that, because then she not only tell us how and what to act, but also explain all the context, create the connections in between the pieces, make sure everything is logical, in order, and gives a good flow to the entire concerts. And that's extremely important, because without that, it would just be a normal concert, us behind stands singing to the audience in a classical way.
We're just going to take a quick break to run a quick ad, and then the interview will return in a moment.
Au cinéma public, nous proposons une programmation en salle composée de films d'ici et de nouveautés internationales, de classiques et des pépites méconnues, ainsi que de courts-métrages et des séances familiales. Nos billets sont parmi les moins chers à Montréal, 10$ au tarif régulier et 8$ pour les étudiants, les enfants et les aînés. Nous offrons également des cinécartes de 6 billets pour encore plus d'économies. Venez nous voir à la Casa d'Italia, juste en face de la station Jean Talon. Et rendez-vous au cinémapublic.ca pour découvrir notre programmation. Le cinéma public pour un cinéma vivant.
And we're back with Cadenza Montreal. We're about to resume my interview with tenor Emiliano Gonzalez Toro. Right, exactly. And so I want to talk too about, tenor Zachary Wolf, who you're performing these duets with, and you've had this like musical like partnership, and you called him like your brother in voice. And so it seems like what really makes your connection so special?
The connection, you cannot really, it's like love at first sight, but vocally. The first time we sung together, I know Zach since 15 years about. I met him in Innsbruck in Austria. He was competing for a competition, and he sung really well, but I was not accurate that well, because I meet all the time many, many singers. So I could feel he was good, but we never worked together for many years. And then suddenly, we were singing together in the same production. We were doing the Monteverdi Vespers with another French ensemble that's called Pygmalion. And at that time, of course, probably you know, in the Vespers of Monteverdi, there is most of the main stuff, duets, solos, and beautiful parts are for tenors. That's the life. But we are lucky about that. And then we were doing all the duets together. And it was so obvious, we didn't have to talk, because we had the same ideas, we breathed the same, we thought the music the same way, we could feel that we understood each other without even speaking, which was really extremely special for me, because I've pretty much never met somebody who could sing with me, but with me, sharing some ideas vocally, and me thinking, oh wow, this is amazing, I will copy, I will go into what he proposed. And what I mean, this kind of exchange are extremely special and do not happen all the time, and with him it happens all the time. So he is one of the most of the special colleague to me, and I definitely like to work with him for many, many more years.
Amazing. Yeah. And like you worked together on recording this program for CD, which came out last year. And I'm curious about like if it feels, you know, you go through this whole process of recording the CD very deliberately and carefully. And then like, how does it feel different to perform for a live audience? Like what kind of stands out when you're in front of people?
We have two products, if we may call that products. We have the concert and we have the recordings. We do not do record a lot. We do most of the time one recording every each 18 months around. Because it takes time for us to work on a recording. For example, we just released Il Ritorno d'Ulisse. It's been 3 years of work to record. Zach is singing also in this Ulisse. As nine other tenors. It takes a lot of time to work deeply into it, and we take a lot of time also to record it. This A Room of Mirrors is only 1 hour program, and we had like 5 days of studio, which is pretty much not normal today. Today, the market of the recording is pretty weak. Let's admit it. People listen to music on streaming, but do not always buy the CD. The CD is more like a goodie. After concerts, people like to buy it because it reminds them the joy they had during the concert. But they do not go into shops so much anymore, sadly. But then we decide when we do a recording to give time and to give everything we have to make the most amazing quality we can do as much as we can for our recordings. And so we work also in a way that we want to produce those albums, studio albums, like in the old times, like in the 80s or 70s, when people had time and money to do it. So we do not think an album as something we have to do quickly to promote ourselves. We take time. But the concerts is much more alive. It does not mean the recording is boring at all. It's extremely well produced and we give everything we have into the album, but it's made for having a nice night, evening with a wonderful glass of wine, listening to this album, chilling out and having a nice moment. The concert is to create a connection with the public instantly. So everything is made, the energy is totally different. It may be less perfect in a technical way. We may have cracks, may have mistakes, any kind of, but it's much more related and made for the public. And also the order of the CD and the concert are not the same. The CD has been thought, I hope my English is clear, in a way to help the listener to listen to it in a smooth and nice way. But it's not made to excite the public. What we do during the concert is to create excitement and calm. Excitement and calm to keep the public stimulated.
Right. Yeah, I had noticed the different order of the pieces compared to the live performance and the CD. So yeah, I'm just like sort of looping back to Monteverdi as to sort of close out the conversation. You know, this is a composer that you've, of course, recorded extensively and know super well. And I'm just curious about, like, even though this concert is not about not including his works, it's still about him as in a way, as we sort of talked through earlier. And so what do you think sort of stands out about Monteverdi to you as this composer? Like, what keeps you coming back to his works time and time again?
It is just because the more we work Monteverdi, the more we learn about humanity, about music, about wisdom, about forgiveness, about intelligence. He's probably one of the most amazing genius Earth created. He's been recognized for that when he was alive, which is pretty rare because people like Mozart died unknown without any money, for example. But what creates the connection and keep us working on it is that because this music needs to be reworked every time. We've done, for example, Orfeo for 3 years and a half during many tours in Europe, recorded one first time, we probably will record it a second time, because every time you open this course, you see things you didn't see before. The more you dive in, the more you go deep into this course, the more you start to understand some meanings you missed the first time. And I've been working this music since more than 20 years, and every time I'm amazed how still I have to learn with this. It's like the B minor mass of Bach, the Passions of Bach, Nozze di Figaro of Mozart. These are masterpieces that will never be understood and period. You cannot work once these scores and say, I understood everything, I'm fine for the rest of my life. It's impossible. It's God is everywhere in this music. And even though you're a believer, what kind of religion you would have, or no religion, when you listen to this music, when you work this music, when you sing this music, something is out of this world. And so you need to take the time to understand it, and also to do the process to go into this music as deep as you can, because it just feeds your soul.
Exactly. Yeah, the process of learning never stops. Well, thank you so much again for joining me, Emiliano. It was great to have you on.
Pleasure.
You're listening to Cadenza Montreal, and that was my interview with Emiliano Gonzalez Toro, the tenor and director of the ensemble I Gemelli. That concert will take place tonight at Salle Borgie, the concert venue connected to the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts right in downtown. That's at 7:30. So looking ahead a little bit towards what is going on and other concerts around the city this week, the Conservatoire de Musique de Montréal is having their concert this weekend, this Sunday, at the Maison Symphonique, Sunday evening. And on the program, we've got Sibelius' First Symphony is really anchoring the program, and that it will be under the direction of guest conductor Tanya Miller. Also on the program is the Moldau from Bedřich Smetana, which is quite a famous piece, as well as Sibelius' First, and honestly, my preference in a way of the pieces on this program, not to knock Sibelius, but more because I just really enjoy this piece so much. The Moldau is from the symphonic poem Smetana is well known for, which is called Mavlast, or My Homeland. It's a cycle of six orchestral symphonic poems. And they were composed by Smetana in tribute to his native Bohemia. So the second movement of this is called Vltava, named for the Vltava River that flows through Prague in the Czech Republic. It's also called, this movement is also known as the Moldau, which is the German name for it. And this movement in particular depicts the course of the river itself as it leads through Bohemia's countryside towards its capital city. So let's take a listen. Oh, this is the Czech Philharmonic Orchestra. Thank you. Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal on CGLO 1690. You just heard the second movement of Bedřich Smetana's Ma Vlast, or My Homeland. It's the movement called the Moldau, probably the most famous and well-known movement of the suite, and it's very beautiful indeed. It's one of my favorites. That recording was the Czech Philharmonic Orchestra under the direction of Jiří Bělohlávek. And again, you can hear that piece this weekend on Sunday at the Maison Symphonique in concert with the Conservatoire de Musique de Montréal. So turning now to another concert that's coming up this weekend. This is quite a special and interesting ensemble. Their name is Ensemble Obiora, and they're Canada's first classical music ensemble that's composed primarily of musicians from diverse cultural backgrounds. And this is something that is definitely very needed in the classical music community today, and it's something that exists in other countries too. The Sphinx organization in the U.S. is perhaps the closest closest program to something like this, but Canada did not have anything like this, well, as far as the founders know, until Obiora was founded 2 years ago, and definitely is a very interesting and needed project. And they have been doing their first concert season, 4 concerts, that launched last month with their first concert, but coming up on Saturday evening at Salle Pierre Mercure is a Dance Around the World, which is their second concert of the season, and it is a chamber music program. And one of those works is Tzigane for Wind Quintet by Valerie Coleman, which is an amazing work for wind quintet by Coleman, who for a long time was the flutist of the wind quintet Amani Winds, who are just a fantastic group. If you've never heard them live, I really suggest that you do. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, that they're coming to Salle Borgie sometime early 2024, maybe February or March, and they are just an amazing group, really hard to make it as a wind quintet, touring wind quintet, unlike a string quintet where you can kind of make your career off that. The Amani Winds really stand out for being able to do that as a wind quintet, an ensemble that kind of does not get quite as much love in the standard repertoire sometimes. But this work, Tzigane, is an amazing addition to that repertoire. And so this recording is of the Amani Winds themselves from their 2016 album Starting Something. And Valerie Coleman is no longer with the group. She left in 2018. And so now the flutist is Brandon Patrick George. But in the time that this album is recorded, she was still performing with them. So she's both composer and performer on this piece. So we're going to take a quick ad break. And then when we return, we'll hear Tzigane by Valerie Coleman, performed by the Amani Winds.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics. Sharing your passions since 2012.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal on CGLO 1690. That was Tzigane by Valerie Coleman, flutist Valerie Coleman, who is a founding member of the Imani Winds, and that recording was of the Imani Winds from their 2016 album. Such a fantastic piece and a fantastic group as well. They are really trailblazers in the wind quintet world, and as a bassoonist I'm always in awe of Monica Ellis and the command she has over the instrument, her low register in my eyes is just unmatched. The power, especially hearing it in person, as I was lucky enough to do last year at their performance at the Cleveland Institute of Music, just fantastic. But if you are interested in hearing the piece performed live here in Montreal, of course, there is the concert on Saturday that I was mentioning earlier with Ensemble Obiora. Very interesting group, very important mission. So that concert is 7:30 on Saturday evening at Salle Pierre Mercure for those who are interested. It's called Dance Around the World and has various dances of various cultures through the works of composers of different origins. That's the description of it in the program notes. So I think that's about all the time we have for today, unfortunately. But thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Emiliano Gonzalez Toro from earlier in the episode. Again, that concert is tonight at Salle Bourget with the American tenor Zachary Wilder and on the ensemble E. Gemelli. So I will be back next week for what is likely to be a music-only program, though who knows, there may be an interview in there or two. We'll see. Thanks so much for tuning in, and have a great rest of your Wednesday.